Have you ever been to one of those big, crazy, over-the-top wedding receptions? Now, growing up in Long Island, that's exactly how wedding receptions are. You had to make a huge statement with your wedding. Tens of thousands of dollars had to be spent. You had to have a cocktail hour with platters of hors d'oeuvres, champagne for everyone, dinner, big sit-down event. If you were lucky, they would even send you home with bagels and cream cheese for breakfast the next morning. Now that's 20 years ago, and it's only gotten wilder and crazier since then. Think about all the stuff you see on those crazy wedding shows that are on TV. How wild and extravagant are some of those receptions? Quick story for you. Man boarded a plane to find sitting next to him this elegantly dressed, obviously wealthy woman wearing the largest, most stunning diamond that he had ever seen. So he asked her about it. She said, "This is the famed Kloppman diamond. It's beautiful, but there's a terrible curse associated with it." "Well, what's the curse?" the man asked. "Mr. Kloppman," she replied. So as you hear this parable of the wedding feast, think about the craziest, most extravagant reception or party or event, whatever it happens to be, that you've ever been to, and multiply it by 100,000,000, and you have an idea of what Jesus is describing the kingdom of God to be like. And that is going to be one wild and crazy party. If you know your Gospels, you know that Jesus was very fond of weddings also. In the Gospel of John, Jesus' first miracle takes place at the wedding feast of Cana, where he changed water into wine. There are many parables that Jesus uses that uses wedding feast imagery to teach us important truths about the kingdom of God. Traditional Christian theology even talks about the church, that's the church with a capital C, not our particular little church, but the whole church, as the bride of Christ. So yes, Jesus might have a few things to say about how we celebrate weddings and other big events. Now, in a twist of irony here in Matthew 22, he gives us a wedding-themed parable in which the people involved have the opposite attitude towards weddings. Now, if we tend to be a little wedding-obsessed sometimes as a culture, then those in his parable are wedding-allergic. Jesus tells us that a wealthy king had sent out the invitation to his family and friends for this lavish feast to celebrate the marriage of his son. Only rather than jump at the chance to attend a royal wedding, everyone on the guest list says no, or just doesn't show up. Well, the king, not being one to take no for an answer, says to his servants, "Tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted calves have been slaughtered." Who wouldn't love a fatted calf, right? "And everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast." In other words, this is going to be one wild and crazy party, and you do not want to miss this reception. Still, nothing. The king sends more servants, only to have them ignored or mocked and killed. Well, enraged at the behavior of his would-be guest, the king attacks their city, sends out a call to everyone else to attend his son's wild and crazy party. Now, with the wedding hall full, everyone can sit down to the party. Now, most of Jesus' audience, and those of us who pay attention in Sunday school, the meaning of the parable is pretty obvious. A wedding feast was a popular way of describing the coming kingdom of God, that day in the future when the long-awaited Messiah, the bridegroom, would receive the honor due him and enjoy that feast of blessing and joy. Yet rather than be filled with honor and excitement for that day, God's people, like the guests in the story, simply couldn't care less. The bridegroom had appeared in the person of Christ, and rather than embrace him and get ready for a party, God's people would throw him on a cross. And as a result, the feast, the kingdom, that new age of heaven on earth would be open to everyone. That's where we come in. We, beginning with the first disciples, are the other ones, the found ones, the good and bad ones Jesus talks about, to whom the invitation to the wedding now belongs. The invitation has come to you and to me in the form of the gospel, preached to us by others who've been invited and who've made sure and certain for us in our baptism that we come to the party. Our sins are forgiven. Our status is secure. We will be a guest of the groom at that great feast on the last day. But that also means that we need to make sure that we're dressed appropriately for the occasion, because this parable comes with a twist, does it not? The servants go out and bring in everyone they can from the highways and byways, but one poor man isn't wearing his wedding robe. You don't want to be that guy. You know, that guy, the inappropriate one at the wedding reception. You've been to wedding receptions to know there's always one inappropriate person. That guy who gets himself kicked out. Not that he expected. I mean, he came, he figured it was good enough that he could just come as he was, that it was a come-as-you-are kind of event. And looking at it from his point of view, I think he expected that everything would be okay, that all you have to do is show up. He was an invited guest, and all kinds of people were there. And some of them were a little on the sketchy side, is my hunch. So he probably figured, what did it matter what he wore? The host surely wouldn't care about that. After all, he had thrown his doors open wide to invite everyone, and I mean everyone, to come in. When you go to a wedding, don't you go prepared to celebrate? Don't you go prepared to enjoy yourself? Don't you go prepared to help the hosts rejoice? Good food, good drink, good times, good music, maybe a little dancing, like maybe some disco dancing. I got that pretty good, didn't I? Speaking of disco, do any of you disco fans out there remember Patti LaBelle? You know who Patti LaBelle is, yes? Do you remember Patti LaBelle's song, New Attitude? I will not sing it for you. That would not be pretty, nor a cause for rejoicing. But I will just quote you some of the words. I'm feeling good from my hat to my shoe. Know where I'm going and I know what to do. I've tidied up my point of view. I've got a new attitude. Song coming back to you. I'm in control. My worries are few because I got love like I never knew. I got a new attitude. I'm wearing a new dress, a new hat, brand new ideas. As a matter of fact, I've changed for good. Go home, look it up on YouTube. Kids, trust me, it's worth it. Maybe good old Patti LaBelle has it right. Maybe that's what the wedding feast that God invites us to really needs. Not new clothes physically, but spiritually. Maybe not a new outfit so much as a new attitude. And if that is missing, there's no party, and there's no welcome in God's kingdom. In Ephesians, Paul will say, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. So think of this as putting on clothes, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day and having everything done to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever makes you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Here today, we have been sought out by God and invited to his banquet of life, a banquet in honor of his son. And that invitation comes to us every day of our lives. We've been invited to richly enjoy life, both in this world and in the next. And we've accepted the invitation. We've come to the wedding banquet of our King. But are we prepared to celebrate as God wants? Do we have the faith we need? Have we put on the clothes of righteousness that Christ has laid out for us? Have we changed for the feast? Or do we show up week after week wearing the same old clothes and living in the same old way? Do we have a new attitude Or are we still living out of the old ways? Is it time for you to cue up the music? Time to put on Patti LaBelle and let her remind you of the new attitude that we're called to cultivate? God has invited, and we've shown up. You are here, physically in this church, and there, spiritually, in your life. Every single one of us is here to worship and serve, but what exactly is the invitation for? The same old? Or an invitation to new things and new ways, to new attitudes and new ways of living and loving? God's invitation to the wild and crazy kingdom party is an invitation to serve God's people. It's an invitation to have abundant life, an invitation to worship, an invitation to rest, an invitation to pray. Last year, if you remember, I believe that the dance God was calling us to was the Hokey Pokey. Remember that sermon from last year? How did that work for you? In case you forgot, or that really wasn't your thing, then this is the perfect time to learn a little disco dancing. Remember, think John Travolta. When it's about a change in the way we've been living, when it involves cultivating a new attitude, then it is always in fashion. It is always welcome, anywhere and anytime. I got a new attitude, or do I? What about you? Amen.